This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm going to start clapping for you. It makes you feel a lot better. Thank you so much, everyone. People that are just coming in now, if you haven't already done so, please download the IlmFest app. I mentioned this a bit earlier. In order for you to keep up to date with the schedule for today, any changes that need to be made, please download the app. How many of you are on Apple? Only a few of you have been guided, mashallah. Hopefully some of you will come around, inshallah. You can see here, you have the access to the app on Apple and on Google Play. I just hope your phone doesn't blow up. That's my only hope. If you have an Android, hopefully it stays intact. But please do download the app, inshallah, so you can stay up to date with the program happening today. You can learn more about the speakers, find out more about their bios, and so on and so forth. Okay, great. Up next, we're going to bring a speaker who I love. He's someone who I personally benefited much from, and he originally came from Canada, but then somehow ended up in Australia, and now he's traveled all the way from Australia to be with us here in the UK for IlmFest 2017. Let's give a big round of applause for Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim is Canadian by birth and Egyptian through a rich ancestry, and since early teens has been actively involved in the Western Dawah scene. He was blessed with numerous opportunities to meet, translate, study, and teach alongside some of the Islamic world's top scholars. And he began memorizing the Quran at the age of 16 and finished 20 months later, receiving a certification in proficiency and an instruction to teach. Sheikh Yahya is a regular lecturer to Muslims and non-Muslim audiences around the world, and he is committed to spreading a message to Muslims that empowers them spiritually and helps them integrate into the broader communities.
So this Quran and its constitution, its laws and its guidance, its huda and its light, its nur and the yaqeen it builds in your heart is intentional and predates mankind.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I always remind myself and you of تقوى الله عز وجل, and I pray that Allah سبحانه وتعالى blesses us with an inner piety and a consciousness, an awakening of self that is of greater worth and capacity than what we seek to show each other publicly in our day-to-day life. Allahumma ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, it's an honor and a privilege to stand on this weird stage. Sometimes I look at that screen, I can't even recognize myself anymore. I don't know what's happening. Like, seriously, brothers, you could have used some newer pictures. SubhanAllah, ajeez. Khair inshallah. We'll do our best anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman. I repeat that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, the ever merciful, the Lord of mercy, the giver of all mercy that we enjoy and interchange amongst each other. That there's no kindness, no moment of humility, no moment of success, no moment of celebration, of bitterness, of sorrow. There's no happiness or sadness. There's no elevation or dishonor except it comes with that scale of Allah is Ar-Rahman. And each and every time that I sit with myself, I worry. And I want you to understand that those who will stand on this stage before you today, beginning with myself, I wish to admit, are as fearful, as worried, as apprehensive about their akhirah, insha'Allah, as you. And I want you to understand that it is not just simply because somebody knows more, or has read more, or has studied with someone, or has lived longer, or has been given more opportunities than others. It's not because someone has been given a position where they stand before people that that somehow makes them better in the sight of Ar-Rahman than others. And therefore I sit with myself and I worry. I worry about the missed prayers that I have in my life, that until now I make attempts to make them up. I worry about unkindness and injustice that I have with my wife, with my children. I worry about my job and whether I'm compensated more than I've actually given. I worry about what Allah knows of what's in my heart that may be different to what other people see of me with their eyes. I worry that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His mercy, that I may end up earning His wrath. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shelters us all, and covers us all, and hides many things from us all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it between us and Him a very simple covenant that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to deliver as a message to you and I. See, Islam isn't about all those big fancy words. It's not about dissecting the Quran and knowing this and that and having that rationale and I gotta know everything before I can become a really good Muslim. I want you to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks you, wants you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens for you avenues and doors and opportunities, even at times in our lowest points, to identify Him and to salvage ourselves with Him. And I want to begin with a hadith that you've all heard, but I want to contextualize it for you. All of us have heard of, you know, that hadith. It's in the Sahih, it's in Bukhari, and versions of it in all the different books of hadith. With it, there's a woman of the night, may Allah protect all of us. And this lady, she has done disrepute to herself, to society. You and I, if we were to see her, and you and I with our outward eyes, we would not have the level of chivalry and mercy and compassion to acknowledge that she could be one of the people who Allah would favor. That's what we see. She gives herself over to others for profit. The Prophet ﷺ says that there's a woman who saw an animal in distress that couldn't give itself water, it's panting. See, you and I, we walk by humans, not even animals. We walk by humans with such indifference that we're worried more about a drink that we're going to have than another human being's existence. There was this Burger King commercial. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm sure you have. It's viral. Where they were filming people in a Burger King shop and this young child is being bullied. And customer after customer, 95% of them ignored that child and went up and spoke about their mishandled hamburger. They worried about a sandwich more than a life. And we're from that 95%. But this woman who had been traumatized and abused, had been hurt, had been taken advantage of, that the Prophet ﷺ described. She saw an animal, it's almost as if you could picture that scene, passing by, panting, unable to eat or drink, fend for itself. She sees it, and hundreds around it are aware of it, but don't see it. They see it with their eyes, but not their hearts. And her heart is alive, even if her sins are darkness. And she fills up a shoe. She doesn't even have a container. She fills up a shoe and gives it water. And that animal, that cat, that dog, it drinks to its satisfaction. فَشَكَرَ لَهَا It made dua to Allah in gratitude. فَغُفِرَ لَهَا All of her sins are abstained, are gone, wiped out by Ar-Rahman. I want you to take that moment, and I want you to look at the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where he says, أَوَّلُ مَنْ تُسَعَرُ بِهِ النَّارُ The first person from our ummah, from the believers, who hellfire shall be kindled on, shall be blazed because of them entering it. رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْعِلْمِ فَتَعَلَّمَ وَعَلَّمُ وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ An individual who acquired knowledge and was given a platform to teach it and learned the Qur'an and was a reciter of the Qur'an, a master of the Qur'an. And it was said to him, مَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا After Allah shows him its blessing, what did you do with this knowledge you were given? قَالَ تَعَلَّمْتُ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمْتُ Oh Allah, I learned and I taught and I recited for you. قَالَ كَذَبْتُ It said you lie. إِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ لِيُقَادَ عَالِمًا You learn because you were happy to be praised. And we have a poison currently within our community, within our Western Muslim community, of that celebrity status, where we acknowledge people in a way that may not be at a level that I or anyone else is deserving of. And the scales of what is right and wrong is with Ar-Rahman. It's not with the stage and the platform and the glossy videos and the sound bites. What did you do with it? I taught and I recited. And it was for you, O Allah. قَالَ كَذَبْتُ No, you lied. You learned and you taught. And you recite it so that you would be praised for it and compensated for it. فَقَدْ قِيلْ And that was your reward. فَأُمِرَ بِهِ The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will be order for that person to be dragged on their face in humility. حَتَّى يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ Until they are cast in hellfire. To eventually come out to the mercy of Allah. There comes a time where those of us who are learned need to wake up and worry more about ourselves than those who we seek to teach. And I want you today, in these next 10-15 minutes that I have left with you, to take with me a methodology of acquiring an inner awakening between you and Allah, and a balance that sets you right with Ar-Rahman. It's not about what you show others. And if you are worried more about what people see of you, and if you care so much about what people think of you, you are ruined inside, you are hollow. Look at the imagery that Allah gives in the Quran. He talks about people who have levels of hypocrisy, كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدًا You look at them and they are like hollowed blocks of timber. You know, when you look at that huge timber structure, that huge used to be a tree, it had life. It had things that grew from it and lived on it. Millions of insects that were sheltered by it. Water that was flowing through it. It transpirated the oxygen that you and I breathe. It provided shade and fruit and shelter.
But when it dies inside, when it's cut off from the mercy of Allah, as you and I as human beings at times we bring to ourselves, when that happens, the only thing we're good for is to be put into fire. And the concept of asa, you know, when you talk about a stick in Arabic, it comes from that same concept of isyan, of sinfulness. Because you were a living being, loving of God, and then you killed your faithfulness in Allah internally. That makes you nothing more than a hollow, empty piece of wood. And the action of a believer is like a tree of faith, a tree of life. And you and I need to worry more about what's inside than what's outside. And the Prophet ﷺ was worried about what was inside more than what was outside. And the Sahaba were taught to worry about what was inside more than what was outside. The Prophet ﷺ would say, as is again in the Sahih Hadith, he says, of the things that I fear most for my ummah, ash-shirk al-khafi, is that a person will join partners with our Lord, with Allah, in a manifest, hidden way, in a silent, subtle way. And they said, what is this hidden shirk? He said, al-riyah. It's that a person will do things worried about what people see of them, to the extent, an yaqum ar-rajul fayusalli, that a person will stand in prayer, فَيُزَيِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ لِمَا يَرَى مِنْ نَظَرِ الْمَرْءِ إِلَيْهِ. But they will make their prayer just that little bit more better, longer, more eloquent in their reading and flow and choice of surah that they recite out loud, just because one other person joined them in prayer. The salat that's normally, Alhamdulillah, now it's Sheikh Sudais has arrived. And every maghrib you've ever led yourself alone in prayer was Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Allahu Akbar. And all of a sudden now, just one faqir, one miskeen, one sinful soul stands next to you. Alif Lam. It could be even Ra, because you want to show off. Everyone knows Alif Lam Mim. I got to show them. It's Alif Lam Mim Ra. There's one of those as well. The duplicity of the soul, where we appear in one face, but we have another, is a fatal flaw that you and I must overcome. Second, is that your soul inclines towards seeking out Allah. It wants to know Allah. You have a fitrah that calls you, that summons you, that seeks for you to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Izzah. But there's these outward pressures on you and I. You heard Sheikh Naveed. He spoke to you about the shaitan and the four ways that we sometimes self-delude ourselves and making ourselves as if we're Allah. Who are you to correct me? Do you know what I know? Where have you learned and studied? Who's your Sheikh? How many classes do you attend? If it's there, I can have it. If it's free, take more. You got to do it to the max. Don't hold back. Drop it like it's hot. Allah forgive us. Those are the kind of inclinations that our soul battles in its desire to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal has built in your heart a compass. There is nothing you and I possess that is more valuable in all of our existence than al-qalb as-saleem, than a good heart. Notice Allah talks about a good heart. He doesn't talk about good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that the one who comes to Him on the day of judgment, that their deeds are what are of value.
that the Prophet says in the Hadith in Muslim, لا يدخل الجنة أحد بعمل. No one will enter paradise on account of their good deed, because you can't pray or fast or give or be charitable enough to earn Jannah. They said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, وَلَا أَنَا. Not even I have earned it. صلى الله عليه وسلم. إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. My aim is to receive and be enveloped by the mercy of my Lord, that I can find a standing between myself and Him on the Day of Judgment that can give me a place and entry into Jannah. Your heart, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Your heart is what will be your greatest salvation on the Day of Judgment. And what is in your heart, if it's true, it makes what is outward correct. What is outwardly correct does not necessarily make your heart true. I repeat, if your heart is true, it'll show. Because don't step to me and say, oh brother, yeah, I got a good heart, Sheikh, but you know, I misspelled it. My heart is good. Allah knows I wanted to pray. It's in here. Inshallah, just make dua. As if you don't make dua, bismillah, there's the prayer map, qiblas that way. No need for dua. Set your alarm. Get somebody to wake you. It's not just dua. It's not, oh, in my heart I intend. Allah knows, ya Shaykh. Allah knows how much I want to wear hijab, ya Shaykh. Allah knows. Allah knows, and Allah knows you're going to wear it. No, but not yet. It's that commitment. What's in your heart begins to show outwardly. But not necessarily what you begin with outwardly. If your heart is diseased, then what is outward will naturally make a change inwardly. You have to begin with your heart. You have to worry about your heart. And that's my second point with you, inshallah. How do I and you work on my heart? What do I need to do? What did the Prophet ﷺ need to do? And what did he encourage the Sahaba to do? Of the first and most important aspect is to recognize that there's illnesses of the heart. And that they require a tasfiyah and tarbiyah. They require a cleansing and they require a retraining. And if your eyes are infected with pornography, my dear brother, it's a problem of your heart. It's not just your eyes. If you're struggling to control your tongue and you speak ill of others inward, in their presence and out of their presence, it's a problem of your heart. If you get so angry that you lose control and you say talaq and you're regretful for it, it's an issue of your heart. You have to recognize that your heart has a disease and has a problem. And the first problem is recognizing the problem. Second, it's in taking steps, gradual steps, towards purging your heart of those illnesses. And you've got to actually look at yourself and say, this is my problem in life. This is what's holding me back. These are the things that I need to improve in. This is the company I need to disassociate from. This is the company I need to pull into my life. This is what I have to say to my mom instead of saying this. This is the respect I wish to receive from others and the dignity that I wish to cloak myself with. This is the salah that I have the greatest difficulty with. And you begin to measure your success in terms of self-improvement. Because they're not mutually inclusive. Not because you're successful, it means you've improved as a person. You must improve with success. Self-improvement and success don't always join each other. They're not always inclusive of one another. And many people may see you as being successful in a metric sense. They can measure how many surahs you've learned, how many classes you've attended, how well your Arabic's improved. But you know you haven't improved as a human being. That your heart has not changed from what you used to be before you learned to recite the Quran in that way. Before you attended that class, it made no change to what is inside. And that's a great warning from our Prophet ﷺ. He talks about the extremists that we still see in our time today.
He said that you will see people who, when they recite the Quran, it will flow from their tongue. That when you see how they devoted they are in their prayer, تَحْتَقِلُونَ صَلَاتَكُمْ لِصَلَاتِهِمْ You're going to compare how well you pray to how well they pray, and you're going to say, it's like I don't pray. Look at this man. Look at her. Look at how she's veiled. Look at how she stands. Look how she talks. Look at everything around their physicalness. But there's no tenderness in the heart. There's no compassion in it. And the Prophet ﷺ said that their words are on the tongue. The Qur'an is recited with the tongue. وَلَمْ يَتَجَاوَزْ But it has not descended through their trachea, meaning it hasn't touched their heart. It had no effect. So you have to measure the success with what you know of your own self-development and improvement. وَأَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِكَ بِنَفْسِكَ You know yourself better than anyone does. And that's why on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say, كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلِيكَ حَدِيثًا It is enough that you are a judge for yourself. You're the one who knows yourself. Third, as it relates to the heart, is that it is an ongoing battle that you can never, ever give up in. And there's days where I struggle with fajr as much as you. There's days where Sheikh Waleed, where imams of the haram struggle with ibadah as much as you and I. We're all on the same level field. The competition isn't between you and anyone else. It's you and yourself. And there's times where it is difficult for me to get out of bed. It's times where it's difficult for me to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to ask in the right way for forgiveness for an insult that I've done. And it's an ongoing battle, and there are many more battles that you will lose than you will prosper and gain in. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests each of us in our different ways. The most terrifying verse in the Quran, according to our Imam al-Shafi'i, is in Surah Maryam. And it's a section of a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا And your Lord is not forgetful. It's one of those verses that gives you such hope, but it's a verse that terrifies you. Your Lord will not forget the good you've done. How much money you spent in pursuit of knowledge. How many hours and minutes you gave up. The shift that you could have been doing today at your part-time job, and Allah knows how much you needed to be there, and that money would have helped, but you decided that you're going to be here. In وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًا Allah doesn't forget. Allah doesn't forget my footsteps and airplane miles to stand before you. And you'll look back next year and you'll wonder, I wonder, what did I do that day? Did I even give up? You forgot everything. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًا But your Lord will not forget the good you've done. But equally, your Lord will not forget your injustice. And your injustice between you and Allah, and importantly, your injustice to others. I leave you with this final quote, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me other opportunities in this life to stand before you in His worship and in this act of ibadah, and that if we don't join each other again in this life in this way, in His worship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins us again in Jannat al-Firdaus with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Sufyan al-Thawri, He's one of the peak authorities of our faith. He's a student of the Sahaba. He was a person who was a pretext to the modern Sunni Islam that you and I follow. He's a person who was known as a abid, as a zahid. He was a person who attained knowledge to a degree that was certified that he lived his whole life and died in what is pleasing to Allah. He would say, لَإِنْ أَلْقَى اللَّهِ I would be happy to meet Allah بِسَبْعِينَ ذَنْبًا with 70 sins between me and Allah that I erred in my life between me and Allah in 70 different ways, meaning in a large number of ways. خَيْرٌ مِي is more beloved to me that I meet Allah with one error that I committed to another human being, that I had injustice between me to one other person.
And that's the last word of advice that I leave to myself and you today. Monitor your life with Allah as you worry about your salah, as you worry about your siyam, as you worry about the technicalities of our faith. Monitor your heart and its hasad, its anger, its envy, its jealousy, its desire, as it relates to other human beings. Be careful that you have no limitation between you and other beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will absolve you of. But you have limitations of Allah's unfettered mercy that He will forgive you. Allah hasn't given you that opportunity that you just ignore what other people you've done to them. On the day of judgment, you will stand before every other human being. And the Prophet ﷺ said that even two sheep, one that used to injure another because its horns were bigger, Allah will replace their horns to give justice between them. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Your Lord will not forget. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill this hall with His mercy upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shelter our sins from the knowledge of others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make myself and all of those who will speak to you today and all of those who guide our ummah, whether they take these platforms or others, from the best of examples in their private life and in their public life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me what you don't know of me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me and others better than what you think of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your life with His light in the darkness that we live in. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. With love and sincerity, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Takbir! 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 That was an excellent talk, Sheikh. Thank you so much for those very inspiring words. Sorry, I kind of missed the old Sheikh Yahya, by the way.